On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references you may want to take with you today. And this morning, I really want to just center the whole message on two verses, really one. And we're going to put some other verses on the screen, and they'll be available to you. I really hope that you'll get this in your heart and in your spirit today. But if you would join me in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And as you're turning, let me get there myself. Would you just repeat this after me if you agree with it? Would you say, the blessings and growth I receive from God's word will be in direct proportion to the attention and thought I give to God's word. Amen. Isaiah 26. Let me tell you the title of the message before I read these verses. And some of you will, if you have a history here of receiving prayer requests from years back, some of you will recognize these words. It's a scriptural term, but let me just tell you what it is, and then you tell me if you know who I'm speaking of, all right? Ready? Shalom, shalom. Do they remind you of anyone if you have received prayer requests back from years ago? This person used to make it as a closing on so many prayer requests. I know this has been some years back. Ms. Torres. Some of y'all might remember that now, right? Shalom, shalom. And that's how she would close out the prayer requests. This, I want to just tell you about the timing of this real quick. I did a wedding here yesterday, and it was a smaller, just a family wedding. So I didn't have to use the mic. I just stood up here, but I did cut the lights on, and the lights up here over the pulpit and the instruments and so forth are controlled back in the sound booth. So after everyone left yesterday, I went to cut the lights off, and I was coming out, and I noticed Clarence has, in the opening there, up over the opening, there are like little funeral memorials of people who have been part of the church family who have passed over the years, and they're kind of lined up there, or a number of them are. And so when I was coming down the steps there, I noticed Ms. Torres. And I didn't remember this, and I didn't purposely do this because I had actually started working on another message earlier in the week and got about halfway into the week thinking I'm going to be set. And then it was changed. I believe it was the Lord's timing. Lord willing, I'll share the other one maybe next week, similar theme. But when I opened that memorial up, I don't even know why I looked necessarily, I guess other just to see the date. Do you know what day she had her homegoing service? It was today, 7 years ago today, we were here, those of you who were here, and I thought, well, that's interesting timing. Shalom, shalom. And I believe that's right, I think it was 2018. So let me read these verses, and I'll show you where it comes from. Verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, that's just a shorter form of Yahweh or Jehovah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Those words in English in this New King James translation, perfect peace, in the Hebrew are shalom, shalom. So it says you will keep him in shalom, shalom. You will keep her in shalom, shalom. That was a Hebrew way of putting great emphasis on a word. Now, when we hear the word peace, We have an understanding of what peace is. It can be like the absence of conflict. The Hebrew word is much more. Let me give you just a definition here of what shalom means. It does mean peace. It includes peace, but it also includes wellness and wholeness. It's like there's a wholeness, a wellness. So shalom is peace, wholeness, wellness, prosperity. The Bible says God delights in the prosperity of his servant. Shalom, same word. It means harmony. It was a revelation to me of, I believe, the greater shalom I experience in my own heart with the Lord, the greater, the more capacity I have or tendency to be in harmony with everyone else. But if I'm out of harmony with the Lord and I'm not in shalom, I can be quick to whatever, show myself, as some people might say. So shalom, shalom, peace, wellness, wholeness, prosperity, and harmony. And I studied this out because I wrestle with this a little bit, because these words are part of a song. And verse 1 tells us that this song will be sung in that day. That is a shortened form of the day of the Lord. So I had to wrestle with that a little bit and study it out, because if that's only going to be sung when the Lord returns, because the day of the Lord can refer to his actual return to the earth, where he reigns in righteousness and peace, shalom, and where the kingdom of God is spread all over the world, that is the day of the Lord. But if that's the case, then these words written 2,700 years ago have really had no meaning since. But we don't believe that, do we? The phrase, the day of the Lord, can also refer to events that foreshadow the coming of the Lord. Like, for example, in Joel chapter 2, there was a prophecy that the day of the Lord is coming. It's going to be great and awesome. It's going to be terrible for some. But in those days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, it's speaking about the time all the way up to the Lord returns, but can we call on the name of the Lord and be saved right now? Did he pour out his spirit 2,000 years ago? So every one of these scriptures that are prophetic have a present application. They can, of course, there's a future application too, but they were all given to warn those who were rebellious, and they're all given to comfort and to encourage those who are faithful. And because this truth is taught of shalom throughout God's word, it is a word we can live by today. Y'all could have said amen on that one, because I thought, no, I get it. Here's the question. In the real world of our daily lives and situations and problems and circumstances and doctor's appointments and reports and what all goes on, that those words, perfect peace, shalom, shalom, can seem more like a distant dream than a present possession. Can I get a witness on that one? So, shalom, but shalom is God's will. I want you to see that from his word today. So I want to give you some scriptures, I hope, to help bear this out. But if you would do this, I would like to ask you to just turn to someone next to you and tell them, shalom, shalom. Wish them shalom. Shalom, shalom. And I'll give you a few verses, but I want to read these two once again. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Sin shattered the shalom that God originally created us to live in, and it marred the world. But Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. Thank God he arose from the grave and he returned and is ascended on high, not just so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that he brings us to God, and so that we can experience his peace, his shalom, He came to restore shalom to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. He's not just one day I get to go to heaven. No, I get to experience the blessings, and we do right now. If we will simply turn from our sin, turn from our way to God's, that's repentance, turn from unbelief and put our faith and trust in Jesus alone as our crucified and risen Lord. And when we do that from our heart, we have access to shalom. Let me show you the scripture here, Isaiah 53:5, if you want to write it down. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 says this, speaking of the Messiah who would come. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the beating that bought our peace, shalom, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Thank God. See, that's why Jesus came to restore shalom and bring us into that place, even in our present circumstances. And then one more scripture along that line is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you read that verse out loud with me if it's on the screen? Let's read it together. Ready? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then because we have peace with God, we can experience, or at least we have access to the peace of God. Now, let me just read verse 2 as well, because it fits. Through whom? Through Jesus. Also, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have peace with God through repentance and faith when we receive Jesus as Lord, and then we can experience the peace of God. This is the peace Jesus experienced, that Jesus lived in, because Jesus lived in the real world. He faced the temptations to sin. He had empathy. He cared when he saw people hurting. He was grieved when he saw just the hypocrisy and the religion that was just outward with no change of heart. He had tears and he felt what we feel, and he faced life experiences, but he did so in a state of shalom. He experienced the temptations, but he was in shalom. He could be in a storm and be asleep while the disciples were in a panic attack all around him. Let's be real. He went through it, but he was in shalom. So he could be grieved and angry and all, but he did it all in a state of shalom, and that's what he offers to us. Shalom, shalom. But we have to do our part. I'll get back to that in a moment. Let me give you these two verses here from Philippians, very familiar for some of you. Philippians chapter 4, if you want to write them down. And then we'll see the words of Jesus. Now come back and conclude there in Isaiah. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 6, we read these words, be anxious for nothing. Does that seem like it's real? But you see how we can use our circumstances and situations to kind of override? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, this is how we can have victory over anxiety. We're going to feel it and experience it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, I believe this is so important, with thanksgiving. Would you say that with me? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank God. This is the word of the Lord to us. Let me give it to you from John 14, 27, and then I want to show you something from Isaiah. John 14, 27, Jesus is speaking, and he says, peace I leave with you, my peace. That's a great inheritance. That's a great blessing. Peace I leave with you. I'm bequeathing this. It's a gift to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All right? 16:33. John 16:33. Jesus tells us, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, would you say in Jesus?
In Jesus.
He says that in me you may have peace. That's the only place we're going to find it in this world, because he says in the world you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have contentions. You're going to have all the turmoil. You're going to have all of that, but your peace is in me. That in me you may have peace. So go ahead and cheer up. I've overcome the world. What we experience in this world ain't gonna take us out. And I believe the shalom of God is greater than whatever this world and life can throw at us. I'm not minimizing anyone's issues, problems, trials, loss, any battles or anything like that. If you know me, you know that. But in all of these, whether it's a crisis or whatever it may be, I just wanna ask you this, is our God greater? Then let's emphasize that. Shalom, shalom, peace. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep. Who does the keeping? You will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So who does the keeping? Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord, the great I am. He said, I'll keep you if you do your part. Two steps, here we go. You wanna write them down. How can we actually live in shalom, shalom? How can we experience this peace of God? And here's the first step, it's right there in verses 3 and 4, where it says to trust in verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. He's our rock. So the Lord will keep us in perfect peace if we trust him. That's the first step. If we trust him. The hymn is just coming to my mind. See if I can remember it. I know the title. I think there's a verse that says, while we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory we'll share on the way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. If we will only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. To trust means to rely on or put our confidence in. And God is trustworthy. So if I want his peace, shalom, shalom, my first step is to simply trust him. Lord, my emotions are all over the place. My anger's out of the roof, my whatever it is, but I'm gonna rely on you. I'm gonna put my confidence in you. I'm gonna lean on you. I'm gonna trust you to hold me up just like I'm trusting these car brakes when I push on them to stop this car. Just like I'm trusting, and I'm just using an illustration, that when I hit this light switch, lights are gonna come on. I don't have to understand all about electricity and illumination and Thomas Edison and everything else to get them to come on. I just need to hit the switch. So if we trust, we will do. That's the evidence of trust is, all right, Lord, you said be anxious for nothing. But you want my prayer request? Here it is. And I thank you. And go ahead and add thanksgiving in there. And then whether we understand it, we won't understand it actually, because he says it goes beyond understanding, but it's not beyond experiencing and receiving. So thank God, shalom, shalom, to trust in him. I was reading some devotions. I'll share a testimony from one of them in just a moment. But when those crises hit, when those trials and temptations, the anger and the anxiety and the fears and worries, we're gonna experience those. in those moments, I can tell you as a father, a human father, if I told Brittany I'm gonna do something, if I have the capacity to do it, I don't want her worried sick over whether I'm gonna do it or not. I want her to trust my heart for her. And if I have the ability, trust my ability. Don't get yourself in a panic, just let me handle it. We have an all-powerful, perfect Father. Thank God, I believe he just wants us to say, Lord, I love you with an unending love. Now, will you just trust me? Will you trust my love for you? Will you trust my power available to you? Will you trust my word to you and just let me handle it? You do your part. You trust, I'll keep. Amen. All right. Thank God he is faithful. Let me read verse 3 one more time. So here are the steps. We trust him. And then verse 3 says this, you will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That word mind is not the typical word for mind in the Hebrew language. It's the word for imagination. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind, whose creative imagination is stayed on you. Let me give you a scripture if you want to write it down where you see that. I'm not just telling you. Genesis 18, 21 says this, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I'll never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That's the same word, translated mind in Isaiah. So here's the translation in the Passion Translation, and then we'll put it back up. Isaiah 26, 3, I think we have it in the Passion Translation. It says this, perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. I really thought about that this week, about our capacity to imagine. And even I thought about some old songs that said our imagination would just run away with me. How many know our imagination will run away if we let it? That's right. So I had to get that one out of my mind by thinking, I can only imagine. But I thought about, man, in our imagination, we can use our imagination for immorality. And we can go places in our mind that we know would not honor God. Like Jesus said, if you look to lust, it's not just you look and you, ooh, and then you don't entertain it. But if you look to lust, so I can do that in my imagination. Someone could offend me, hurt me, and I could plot how I'm gonna get even and use revenge. I can use my imagination for that. We can use our imagination that when we hear something, we put ourselves in such anxiety and worry and fear and turmoil, it can actually negatively affect our physical health. Because we're using our imagination in such a way that we're releasing cortisol in our body that's just meant to be quick, fight or flight, but it's staying elevated and it causes damage in our bodies because we are using our imagination not in the way that God wants, but we're using it in a way that's running away with us. But you see how it comes back to trust. So God will keep in shalom, shalom, if I trust, and now I've got to use my mind and my imagination for something good and godly rather than something that's going to tear me up. Shalom, shalom. This brother talked about how he and his wife married over 50 years. And when she passed away, he started experiencing the emotions of, you know, you go through their birthday, you go through the holidays, and some of those, you know, familiar with that from maybe the loss of a loved one. And he said, I wondered how I would even go on. I didn't know how I would endure. He felt so lonely. But the devotional for that day was talking about trusting God. And this is what he said. I'm going to just quote it to you. He says, God has helped me see how worrying about future pain just makes present pain worse. Worrying about future pain just makes present pain worse. So because we're constantly hit with it, we must constantly keep setting our mind on the Lord and keep using our imagination and our thoughts in ways that are gonna build up our faith, that are gonna promote shalom, that are gonna draw me to the Lord, that are gonna help me trust the Lord rather than using them to keep me in turmoil or to lead me into sin. So thank God we have a capacity to imagine, and God gave it to us not to keep us in turmoil. He gave it to us to keep us in shalom. But do you see how we got to turn this thing around? But it starts with trust. So we trust and then we keep. And let me give you one more scripture here if you want to write these down, just a couple more. I want you to see how this word is translated. Same word translated mind and imagination is translated one more way in Deuteronomy 31, 21. It says this, Deuteronomy 31, 21. Then it shall be when many evils and troubles have come upon you, that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants, for I know the, same word, for I know the inclination. Now, when I saw that, that gave me hope, because I thought, man, I failed so many times in this, in my thought life, in my imaginations running away. But I thought, by God's grace, as I trust him, I can make my inclination more towards shalom, shalom, rather than going away from and robbing myself of his shalom. So thank God. Would you once again turn to someone next? Just wish him shalom, shalom. So if we think about this then, how can we use our God-given capacity to imagine in ways that glorify God and keep us in shalom? Then I started thinking about, all right, here's this doctor's report. Now I can worry myself sick over it with my imagination, or I can say, Lord, there it is. I'm bringing my request to you, and I thank you for that. And I could just imagine, you might be just setting me up for a miracle. You're setting me, you want me to be a light to someone. You want me to be a witness and a testimony to someone else who's going through something so I can help them. I can see how even through this process of going through the treatments and all that's going on, I don't like it. I didn't want to choose it, but I can only imagine what you're doing here. That's the way to promote shalom. Shalom, shalom. So don't get down on yourself when you feel like you fall short. I'm your encourager today. I really mean that. I want to say let's make trust and using our thoughts and mind, our imagination for something that's good and godly and uplifting that honors the Lord and gives glory to him. Let's make that our inclination. And then when we fall out, it's, oh, that's not my tendency. This is my default. This is my inclination, shalom, shalom, by the grace of God. All right, if you want to write these down, last couple of verses, Romans 8, 5, and 6, let me read them to you. Romans 8, 5, and 6. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things, or they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. And then verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. And would you please read these last few words of that verse out loud with me? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Thank God. I hope you are encouraged today. I want you to think about that. I want to ask you, let's meditate on this scripture. Proverbs 26, 3, every day this week. Let me read it one more time. You will keep him. So God will keep us if we trust and keep our mind and our imagination on him. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I think New Living Translation says, keep his mind fixed on you. I like that too. Would you just turn to somebody next to you and tell them, I'm fixing my mind. How many need their mind fixed this morning? Lord, help us fix our mind on you. Lord, help us set our mind on you. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Thank God. And then, I'm sorry, I didn't give them this scripture, I don't think. If you want to write it down, I'm going to tell you what it says, okay? Genesis chapter 15 and verse 15. It's the first mention of shalom in the Bible. I want you to see what it's about. Genesis 15, 15, God is speaking to Abraham, and he told him, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in shalom, peace. You shall go to your fathers. You shall be buried at a good old age." Abraham was a real man, same issues, same all of that like we have, but he was a man of faith, and he is our example of a human walking in the steps of faith in God. And I love this assurance. God said, "You're going to live in this real world, but I'm going to keep you in a state of shalom until your last breath." That's what I want. I want to live this real life, all the issues, problems, struggles, failures. I want to experience it with the shalom of God in my heart, my mind, and even filtering into my physical body. So will you join me this week? I mean, focusing on Isaiah 26, 3, read it, confess it, sing it, make up songs about whatever you need to do, write it down. But ultimately, let's trust God and use our imagination for shalom by God's grace. Will you do it? Amen. Let's stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just want to say thank you. You are trustworthy. Lord, help us. Help me today to trust in you with all my heart. I won't have to figure it all out. I don't have to understand. I don't even have to necessarily like circumstances, but help me to trust you. Lord, I know in my heart there is nothing I'll ever face in this life, as hard as it may be. I still believe that you are greater, and you're going to see me through, Lord. All I can say is help me to trust you day by day, by the power of your Spirit, by your grace, and for your glory. If you feel like this is a now word for you today, maybe you've just been going through a time, and I pray this is a practical word that'd be helpful. If you would like prayer today, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? I just want to say, I want to try to get you in my mind because I want to keep you in prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters, maybe some even joining online, and I pray. I'm going to stick myself in there too. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you. Help us, Lord. We're not basing anything now on past performance, our failures, our shortcomings. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. And we can experience shalom, shalom. It is your will for us. So help us to rest in that. Help us to do our part. We want to trust you and help us to keep setting our mind, fixing our mind, using our God-given capacity to imagine in ways that are going to glorify you and give us shalom. And may you do it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree, would you say amen?